Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today's sermon is from the epistle lesson from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The Apostle Paul, in writing his first letter to Timothy, strongly urges, if you will, first of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Yes, the Apostle strongly urges not only the first century Christians to do this, but this continues to us today. We are urged to make prayer, supplication, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all people. Offer intercessions is what the church does. For we do so for the needs of our own being and for the needs of our neighbor's beings as we thank, praise, and serve our Lord. When preparing this text, Chrysostom, St. John Chrysostom, I came across a quote of his that I found rather interesting on this text. He says it has a twofold benefit. From this, two advantages result. First, hatred towards those who are outside the circle is transcended, for no one can feel hatred towards those for whom he prays. Those apart are made better by the prayers that are offered for them, by losing their ferocious disposition towards us. For nothing is so apt to draw men under teaching as to love and to be loved. This is the purpose of today. To pray, praise, and give thanks. The foundation of our prayers, as we know, is Jesus Christ. Now, our government, of course, has established Thanksgiving Day, and they're not going to mention him. It's kind of interesting. They can do some really word exercises to keep from mentioning him, but they do it. And today will be one of those days when you sit down and if you turn your TVs on or your radio, there's going to be people paraded in front of you who are going to tell you what they are thankful for this Thanksgiving Day, and very rarely will you ever hear any mention of God. They're thankful for their family, they're thankful for their friends, they're thankful for their health, they're thankful for their food. But we gather together as a different group of people. We gather together as a people who know that the one thing we are most thankful for is the gift of life and an eternal through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. That we are thankful that God sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. This is what we are most thankful for this day. And so Paul urges young Pastor Timothy to pray. You see, without the Father's gift of His only begotten Son, today would not be a Thanksgiving Day but a thankless day. Oh, we could still get together and have some ham or turkey. Eat some veggies, possibly. We could still get together and watch some football, good or bad. We could still get together and moan because our stomachs are so full of mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie or whatever else we ate that day. There could be a smattering of general and generic thanks. However, it would all be meaningless. It would all be vanity. You see, Jesus Christ changes everything. He's the one who enables us to say thanks to God for all, because He's the one that drags us out of the depth of our death in sin to give us life now and life everlasting. By the nature of the fall, we are without hope. But by the nature of faith, we have all hope. So Jesus came into our sin-burdened world as the true light, as John the Evangelist describes him in John 1, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. And by his redeeming work of suffering on the cross, Jesus pays the penalty that we deserve, and we receive forgiveness. His resurrection is a guarantee of everlasting life for all who have God-given faith. And we then become God's own child through the waters of baptism as he calls us each by name, as we die with Christ and rise with Christ. And we now live in Christ. And he is the foundation of our life and our giving thanks for all things, whether you got a deer already or not. Because we are set free from the power of sin, death, and Satan. And we have a new and better way of life. We have a joyful life, one that can thank God for all that he has done for us, even when it feels that life is falling down around us and everything is going to pot. We have every right to be thankful. We understand all goods and all possessions are simply a gift from God, no matter how hard we work for them. In fact, our very life is just a gift. And we are then free to pray for the needs of others because we know that God provides for all our needs. And so Paul urges us to do that in our text. He tells us to pray for all people. And then he gets specific. The apostle goes on and says, Pray for kings and all those in high positions that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. I want you to think about that just for a second. When Paul's writing to Timothy, the emperor, the king, is Nero. And I guarantee you haven't lived under anything like that in your entire life. He was a horrible emperor. He was a horrible ruler. In fact, he hated Christians out of hand because they refused to worship him as a god. He was known to have taken Christians and crucified them and then lit them on fire at night to light the streets. That's the kind of horrible man he was. And yet Paul says to Timothy, pray for him. This last Tuesday I was teaching in my doctrine class down at Concordia in Milwaukee. And somehow the president's name came up. Actually, the name didn't come up. They refused to speak his name as if he was Voldemort. 45, they called him. And I said, well, you may hate 45, but others didn't care for 44 and 43, or 42 or 41 before that. But we still have to pray for him. Didn't set so well with the class, so be it. But Paul's not asking us to be buddies and go out and have snickerdoodles with them. He's telling us to pray for them because when God blesses them with wisdom to lead, our lives are easier. When God blesses our rulers, our president and legislature and our judges and all that we pray for each week in church with wisdom, which is knowledge of God, heaven help them, that they understand the natural knowledge of God at one point at least, then things go better for us. And we as a church can gather freely and worship God and proclaim the word to our neighbors so that all may have life in it everlasting. You see, that was what Chrysostom's point was. You pray for those you don't like. He said hate. I I kind of soften it a little bit. Pray for those that you struggle loving as yourself. Because it changes your heart first, and then it can change their heart as well. I'll give you a practical example from my own ministry, of which I'm quite embarrassed of, but it's still a fact, and I've repented of it multiple times. When 9/11 happened, and those planes were flying into those buildings, the first thought that came to my head was not, oh, let's sit down and pray for these people that they repent of their sins. It was, let's turn that sand into glass. That's my sinful flesh. 2 days later, we had a worship service here at church. By the way, the only time that I've been in the ministry where people were calling and saying, could you please have a worship service? Strangers calling and asking for it. So we did. And in the prayers of the church, which were so wonderfully written and so wonderfully composed for such an event as that, we prayed a prayer that our enemies will be brought to faith and come to repentance. And I was condemned, because I was just as much a murderer as they were. And I thank God for the gift of repentance. And my attitude towards my enemy changed as I wanted them to come to faith, because in faith they would no longer be my enemy. And bombs and guns will not change their hearts, only the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, mind you, that does not mean that the government doesn't have the authority to carry the sword and fight wars and defend its people. I've not gone off and become a flower child or rejected the word of God, which you have to say those things. But it changes your heart. Or it should. And so as we struggle with various people, whether they're in the limelight of politics or whatever else, or our next door neighbor, or the uncle that'll be sitting next to us in a little while, or the brother-in-law, or the sibling, pray for them. Pray for them that God give them wisdom, that God give them peace, that God provide faith in His Son so that they will have life in it eternal. And then see how your attitude towards them changes. And rejoice in the grace that God shows you. Because when we have the freedom to worship as we like without hindrance, we should thank, praise, and serve and obey God. But we should also thank and praise the government that provides that opportunity, because that's not offered to everybody. In fact, it's not even offered to everybody in this country. Our own military chaplains have, from time to time, they have tried to force them to exclude the name of Jesus from their prayers, to not mention the Trinity, because it might offend other people. Thank the Lord for our faithful chaplains, because they just say, no, we'll pray the right way or we won't pray at all. And so we need to pray for them as well. But you see, in a few hours, and maybe it's already happened, and maybe it won't happen till later this week, when your family gathers with other family or friends, if you do that, you're going to be tempted to hold your tongue. You're going to be tempted to be silent on the truth. You're going to be tempted maybe not to even pray before you eat, so not to offend other people. I want you to think of this. If you're not willing to offend an uncle, or to get a bad Facebook thumb down, or to be tweeted negatively, what will happen to your faith and your confession of your faith when real persecution occurs. I'm not saying be Shiite Christians, but be a Christian. And that means pray for all, even those we don't, well, love as much as ourselves. This is why Paul tells Timothy and all Christians to pray, even for kings, even kings that want him dead, and for all in high positions. Prayers for our nations, for her leaders, has an important purpose, that we might freely confess Christ as Savior. Rather than becoming part of today's culture, we are set apart by God as part of the communion of saints. Therefore, we pray for those in authority that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, that the church can gather freely and carry out the Lord's work and nourish her people with God's word and sacraments. Thanksgiving Day is a higher and greater meaning for us Christians. For the word thanksgiving, as used in our text today, means grateful acknowledgement for past mercies of God. This leads to our humble and truthful request. We have so much for which to thank God. He gives us His Word. He gives us His living voice, our Lord. And through water and the Word joined together, He gives us Himself as He makes us part of Him, grafting us wild vines, branches onto the vine that gives life. And at the altar today, we receive His food, the true body and blood, the nutrients that we as Christians must have to stay alive, the forgiveness of our sins and salvation. Our God, you see, cares. He cares even for our earthly needs. Luther provides us with this: with all that I need to support this body and life. In so many ways, our Lord makes sure that we have all we need for body and soul. So prayers of thanksgiving include our personal prayer, and we remember what God has done for us individually, beginning at our baptism and carrying us all the way through. This prayer always is connected to the Word of God, by which we are enriched and strengthened. As we are gathered for worship each Lord's Day, our congregation joins together in prayer, and we ask God to continue to bestow His grace on us as we pray for our church, other people, and our nation. And we hold before God's throne of grace the needs of all people. This is what is meant by the invitation to pray, as we will in a little bit. Let us pray for the whole people of God and for all people according to their needs. So let us hear again the words of St. Paul. First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made to all people, or for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So I pray that you have a blessed Thanksgiving Day in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you know, every day is a Thanksgiving Day in Him. And that you and yours will grow in true God-given faith and peace. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.